away in the Valley of Los Angeles, 42 miles northwest of Disneyland, sits a tiki bar with a 78-drink challenge called the Grog Log. Drink all 78 drinks within 1 year, and you get a plaque with your name on the wall. Let's join two thirsty friends for a little Mai Tai as they embark on a drunken journey through the log and talk about dumb shit like theme parks, drinking, and drinking at theme parks.
Welcome to my time.
We're back.
We're back. That voice was Corey.
I'm here. And that's Dave.
That's right. Are we going to do that thing where we introduce one another? Maybe.
Sometimes.
It works for our fourth episode.
Yep.
Will it be back for our fifth? Tune in and find out.
We don't have a lot of structure.
We have a super fun episode for you all today. We have our first guest. But before we meet him at the Tonga Hut, I'd like to let you know that we're 7 drinks down.
We're getting so close to the end.
We're almost there.
71 more to go.
Yeah, it's quite a few drinks left. So without further ado, let's go get those drinks. Let's head over to Tonga Hut and we'll introduce you to our super fun guest and some super fun drinks.
Yeah, enjoy.
Okay, we got Sugar Ray pumping in the back.
So yeah.
Now, here we go.
You know
now
what that
ready.
Means? That means that we're ready to go.
We're ready to roll.
We are back at the Tonga Hut, and we are about to start grog logging.
Back at it.
Yes, but today we're not going to do that podcast thing where we like just sit and talk for 20 minutes
and ignore the other person that's in this very small booth with us.
I would probably jump in.
I would hope so. Okay, so that voice was Andrew T. Andrew is a good friend of mine and was a writer on That 90s Show and Mixed-ish and hosts a podcast of his own called Yo, Is This Racist? With Tawny Newsome. Andrew is officially our first guest on...
You're doing it.
That is wild. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for
coming. I have a very specific reason for asking you to come on the show first. We'll get into that. But before we do, as we walked in, you said that you've never been to the Tonga Hut.
Yes. And I thought I had, but the fact that I didn't know where the door was told me pretty clearly I'd never been here before.
It's not the door that looks like a front door.
No. Yeah.
They try to confuse you.
I mean, look, it takes a real confidence in your business to make it...
Go around back, please.
Significantly more difficult to enter your bar.
I love that, though. That's even more charming. It adds
confident.
To the charm. Let's make it as dark as we're legally allowed to have a bar.
I think that's part of it. I know. Because then the door on the back keeps the light from coming
in a
bit.
It would be like when Blade finds the vampire dead every time that opens.
Either we have to wear motorcycle helmets or we have the door in the back.
You need to tiptoe into the darkness rather than just fully submerge yourself.
In college, I took a photography class with a dark room, and you need that little door that doesn't let any light in.
Tiki bars apparently have to have those as well.
Yeah.
I do have an irrational fear about rotating doors.
Really?
About rotating doors in glass rotating doors?
Yeah.
Any of them.
I think when I was a youth, I can distinctly remember going through one at an airport or a theme park or something.
She never came out.
Yeah, never came
she's
out.
She's still there.
I'm a ghost.
Oh, so we're living your dream.
I'm a ghost. Yeah. And I got myself wedged between it, and it completely pinched my shoulders. And I just remember my dad being like, "You're fine. Lock it up."
Yeah. Like,
yeah, literally. And ever since then, I'm like, if there's a way around this rotating door, I'm going around it.
There shouldn't really be 99.99999% of the time. It's fine.
Yeah.
But you could also definitely be cut in half.
Totally. And that is my irrational fear to this
day. It's just a higher risk than I really was thinking through. It is thinking about how simple a door should be. It is a lot of fucking moving
it
parts.
It is weird.
If you think about it. It's a level of complexity that feels...
Welcome to our podcast where we talk about revolving doors for 15 minutes.
Oh, let me tell you this. If Universal announces that they install a revolving door...
I got a problem.
Corey will know about it. Corey will chime in and say, "So, did you hear about the new revolving door at Universal?"
I start breaking out in hives.
I don't know
if we can go.
And that will be an entire episode. That's kind of an insight to who we are, what we're doing. We got here. We checked in with our grog log sheets.
Yep.
We kind of gave Andrew the rundown of...
I will say this, and I wasn't sure how much you're going to run this down on every episode.
Yeah.
I think I get your scheme.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I'm not positive.
You're onto us.
No. I'm just what's happening here?
Okay. So there is a challenge here called the Grog Log Challenge.
Okay.
You have 78 drinks in this book called the Grog Log.
It's surprisingly thick. Yeah. I will just say.
So Tonga Hut has now taken the book and made a challenge called the Grog Log Challenge. You drink all 78 drinks in this book within a calendar year.
Okay.
And then you get in their club. The okay. Loyal Order of the Drooling Bastard.
Okay.
That's a club we want to be in.
So all of these people on the wall are all people who have completed the challenge, and you make your own little plaque and you hang it up at the wall.
The plaques are shockingly nice, yeah, I have to say.
And you can order a fitted fez hat.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, a fitted fez.
So we're clearly doing that.
Okay. So, this is obviously both hubris and famous last words, etc.
Yeah.
78 drinks in a year does not sound that hard.
No.
It's it is yes and no. It takes a lot
of... You gotta commit.
Yeah.
You know, you take a couple weeks off and then you're taking off a third week and then you're like, oh shit, I'm 20 drinks behind where I should be. It winds up being like death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Yep.
It's I get it. I'm not saying it's nothing.
I will say this.
I guess it's a lot real bad for you. I understand.
Yeah, and a lot of these drinks are not the delicious drinks that you like know and love out of Tiki, but they're like, hey, all the components of this drink sound great, but the proportions are all off. But this happens to be like a 1960s cocktail.
Oh, sure.
So it's like gonna just taste like straight up
right
anise.
Okay, and because it's from that era when cookbooks would have stuff like mint jello and a grape and an olive together.
It's like meat in the jello.
Of course.
Here's like that famous olive sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's just olives and mayonnaise.
That wasn't that long ago for an entire nation's palate to evidently have changed.
It is interesting.
Because that was in cookbooks.
Yeah.
That's
like
crazy.
Like Betty Crocker's like cookbook like that my mom had, the like red and white checkered one.
Yeah.
I feel like that stuff was in there.
Like the pineapple and ketchup extravaganza. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is happening here?
So gross. That sounds disgusting, actually.
But it was always shit like that.
A lot of those wartime, like...
I guess that's true.
Ration.
But that's what... Yeah. Tiki was kind of born out of that
as
well.
Right.
Totally.
Like, I guess it is natural that a lot of this tastes like shit.
Well, right, because it's like the fruit got preserved...
Right.
And the booze kills a lot of the flavor of everything else.
God, yeah.
And you're on vacation or in the darkest room in California.
Well, it's raining.
Yeah.
So typically what we do is we hand over our sheet and we say whatever you want to make us from this list.
Yeah.
Give it to us. Andrew had a great suggestion today since it's a dreary day.
Yeah.
We're going to do the hot buttered rum.
Which we've been tipped off previously is not delightful.
I will say I've only had one before. Actually, at the other famous tiki bar in Los Angeles that I know, Tiki Tea. It was like one of the drunkest nights I've ever had in my life.
Tiki Tea will do that to you.
Yeah, well, that's Tiki
That's
for
also
you.
Here.
It really was wild. This is wonderful. I will say, and this might be me, I'm a person that, you know that booze from Chicago, Malort? Have you guys had that before?
Oh, yeah.
That's sort of famously, everyone's like, oh, this is the most disgusting thing you can drink.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm pretty tolerant. I think partially it's because when I did a semester abroad in China, there's this brand of, I guess it's called Baijiu, which is like white liquor, but it's like sorghum vodka, essentially. It's a very strong 80-90 proof alcohol. But there's this brand, it was like 12.5 cents a pint or something like
that.
God. And the closest smell I could relate it to
This is never a good sign.
Nail polish remover or paint thinner.
It was
the wildest shit. And people would routinely just drink this with lunch, with meals. And that's the very cheapo version. The Erguoto sorghum, the grossest single substance you can have.
We'll have to try it. God. Why not?
It sounds delicious. It sounds delightful.
Your glowing review of it really sounds good.
I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, everyone's going to be doing more business with China over the coming years, so get fucking used to it.
I think
we're done.
I think it's ready.
Ooh.
All right, before we taste this, do you have a cheers that you say to friends or anything like that?
Oh.
Like a specific thing you like to say?
I don't. Or I could freestyle
or you
something.
I'm on the edge of, do I keep up with a bit and just keep on doubling down on this dumb joke and embarrass myself in front of our guests? Or do I just let it go?
I say,
I don't know.
You do it.
Let it go, Frozen. So
He's doing it.
We drink a drink called the Aurora Bora Borealis.
Okay.
Young Elsa and young Anna are woken up in the middle of the night by the Aurora Borealis. Okay. And young Anna says, the sky's awake, so I'm awake. So now,
okay.
So now I say, the drink's awake, so I'm awake. And
and there it is.
It needs a lot more backstory than I realized.
Any good toast, yeah. Any good joke needs a good 20-minute preamble.
The drink's awake, so I'm awake.
The drink's awake, so I'm awake.
I'm down with that.
Okay, so we're going to taste this hot buttered rum, and then we'll tell you all about it.
Yep.
It's hot, so we want to drink it when it's hot.
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, a lot of booze.
Yeah. It's not bad. I taste a lot of tea.
Okay. I got more butter than I hoped.
Yeah, there was like a floating bit of butter on top, melting.
Like, I know it's in the name, and I can see it with my eyes.
But I was still surprised there was butter on top of it. I'm with you.
It's the promise of the premise.
Yeah, it's really unnerving.
Okay, so we're going to tell you a little bit about this drink.
Yeah.
First of all, it comes in what we would say
it's
is like a little
coffee glass.
Irish coffee glass.
Yeah.
And
it's like hotel lobby coffee dispenser cup.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
It's literally the ones you remember from like the Holiday Inn growing up or whatever.
Kind of perfect.
Or like when the wedding really wants you to leave.
They start tossing these out because they're like a penny each or whatever. Yeah.
It's just a dark brownish kind
of. It's a tea color.
Yeah.
Tea. It looks like a tea, and it's got a little nice floater of a pat of butter.
It's got a lot more texture in it than
like
I realized.
Sediment in the bottom?
Well,
or?
A little bit of that. I definitely got, I assume a clove in my first,
oh, yeah, I think there's cloves.
I'll tell you. Yeah. So the official name of this is the Volcano House Hot Buttered Rum. It's got lemon juice, maraschino liqueur. It's got sugar, hot tea.
More sugar?
Butter, cloves.
Pretty sweet.
And rum.
Here's my question, and I'm guessing it's not specified in the recipe.
Yeah.
It tastes like the butter is slightly salted.
It doesn't.
Which is mildly unnerving as well.
It doesn't.
Salted butter versus unsalted,
So it doesn't call for that. It doesn't call for salted butter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think if I were calling for it, I would specify. If I were writing the recipe, I would specify unsalted butter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. What it does say is that this drink was invented by a bartender at the Volcano House Hotel in Hawaii. In 1950, let's see, perched on the rim of the Kilauea Crater, the Volcano House still offers great views of the Big Island's active volcano, but no longer offers this drink.
Well, does that say something or what?
So the way that this drink was sold to us, we heard it, somebody else ordering it last time we were here. The bartender said, it's not our hot buttered rum.
Yeah.
I see.
It's a specific recipe.
A lot of places make their own butter that then they'll put into the buttered rum.
I see.
This is not that.
The thing with hot buttered rum is it sounds like the kind of thing like a John Candy character would order as a punchline.
100%.
Like it's like
you're the only thing you drink is hot buttered rum.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's okay.
What's
that's
your
weird,
go-to
man?
Drink? Hot buttered rum.
And then we wind up in bed together.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. It's like that era of that, like what the fuck are you talking? I've only been to Hawaii a couple times in my life, and I know that. There are different climates and stuff, and maybe up on the top of the volcano, it's a little chillier. I cannot think of a thing I would want to drink less in the Hawaii I've been to.
Let's paint a nice, beautiful Hawaiian day.
80 degrees, humid, tropical thunderstorm.
Shower, just it's so humid and so hot that it just is going to dump on you a little bit. You're sitting next to an active volcano, and you're thinking, I think I'm going to go hot buttered rum.
Yeah. I want something that makes me feel like I just had like a big baked potato. Like my lips are covered in butter right now.
I was going to say, I feel like it's filling me up more than a normal drink would. Yes. Is this a good one to start with? Like, you know how people drink bulletproof coffee with like the butter in it because it like takes the acidity out and like is lines your stomach in a different way?
Is that what bulletproof coffee does?
Yes.
Okay.
Supposedly. Is this going to make us not be hungover?
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow. Here's the thing. I don't think I dislike it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like,
I think it's great, but it's weird.
I don't dislike it. I don't particularly love the pat of butter just caressing my lips every time I drink it.
The pat of butter is the most off-putting thing to me, to be honest.
Yeah. I guess mentally, I thought this was going to be like piping insanely hot.
Sure.
And I don't know why that's more appealing to me. But it,
because it
because the
like,
butter would melt.
Yeah, well, I guess.
It tastes like a warm tiki drink, which...
Yeah.
Is like kind of strange.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Would I drink this again on a nice rainy day? Would I come in here?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I think everything but the butter. I'm failing to see why you
so
need
just
the
hot
butter.
Rum.
Yeah, hot rum. It's like tea and it's like lemon tea with rum.
A lot of people are now fat washing their alcohol.
That's true.
So I don't know if this was like old school fat washing, you know, maybe that was giving it kind of like a different texture. I just don't know what was coming over this guy in Hawaii in the 50s.
It's an interesting choice.
That you need this drink.
The specific combination of the place, like learning where it's from.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I got the book.
You got the...
I didn't get a knock.
We've lost Dave.
Did you swallow
the clove?
No, I just swallowed the entire pat of the butter.
Mine melted.
Just choked on a clove.
We tend to rank things like on a scale of 1 to 5.
Just 1 to 5.
I see.
5 being like best ever, obviously 1 being no dice.
I'm just realizing we are watching a movie on the monitors with John Candy in it.
Wait, is this Uncle Buck?
It's not one I've seen, so maybe it looks Uncle Bucky.
You've never seen Uncle Buck?
I mean...
It's one of my favorites.
He flips giant pancakes.
That's the best part.
Giant pancake is on the monitor.
The pancake is Uncle Buck. It's the best scene in Uncle Buck. Okay.
Rating.
So, what are we rating this?
The rating.
I mean, I'm going to go... It's a middle-of-the-road 3 for me. It's
a 3 for you?
I mean, it's drinkable.
Okay.
Really? I'm going to say, the fact that it's like pretty miserable outside.
Yeah.
I will say this. I can't think of a drink I'd rather have today.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
Wow, so, you like it.
Like, I don't know. Like I mean, 4?
Wow. Hell yeah.
That's
like
good.
If it were warmer.
Yeah.
I think I really would just like, I don't know.
Here's my thing. I can always go for like a tropical drink.
Yeah.
Like when
that's
I come
fair.
In here. Part of my reason on why I love tiki is just the escapism.
Yeah.
And this kind of makes me think of the outside. I would be happy if I went and like grabbed a bite to eat somewhere and came in from the rain, had a nice hot butter drum. But when I step into this tropical paradise, I'm in Hawaii right now. I'm sitting on a volcano crater.
And you're thinking, why in the fuck did I order this?
At first, I was going to say 2.5.
Uh-huh.
But then... Both of you guys kind of convinced me. I would say 2.75.
Yeah, it's just not my thing right now. If I drank this on Thanksgiving morning
in my house.
Let's start my day. Yeah.
I think there are times.
I didn't definitely drink this.
Yeah.
All right. So should we just order another one?
Yeah.
And then we'll do the next segment.
Yeah, we'll just talk while she's making them.
Great.
What do we want to do? Do we want to do Dealer's Choice?
Should we ask
for let's go for a like top 20 most unpleasant. A bottom 20 drink.
Okay.
But not the most unpleasant.
Bottom 20. I'm going to just going to say, give me your bottom 20.
Yeah.
Give me your bottom 20. Not a phrase you say often.
You don't know me.
Yeah. Sometimes.
There it is.
Yeah. I just want to help you guys power through.
We gotta have some bad ones at some point.
Do we get a name on what's incoming?
Nope.
It's going to be something. I'm loving this.
So, Andrew, I love your podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? On your show, people write in.
Mm-hmm.
They ask generally something about themselves. Am I doing something racist?
Yeah.
Is this person at my office racist?
Yeah.
And I feel like most of the time is kind of, but maybe that's not how it's intended.
Yeah.
Or like,
Or realistically, it's never. You find the comedy in like, what the hell are you doing with this situation? Or like, why are you asking this? But yes.
Right. And if you're asking the question, you're at least showing that you're
aware
of
it. And you know what's happening.
And you know what's happening and you don't want to offend anybody. So that's where we are. I wanted to get you in here very quickly because if you tell me the answer that I don't want to hear to this question, I will pack it up and I will go the
fuck home.
This will be the fourth and final fucking episode of my time. A tiki podcast hosted by 2 white people.
Sure. Sure.
Yo, is this racist?
Like the... Well, you mean tiki in general, though, is sort of what you're getting at?
Yeah, I don't want to straddle that line of appropriation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of been a hot button kind of question. Are you are you honoring culture?
Or being insensitive?
Or like, where do we stand? In my heart, I'm drinking it because it's fun and it's escaping. But
It is.
We don't want to be unaware.
Yeah.
Well, so I think from what I understand, tiki culture or this like tiki bar thing was, it's like a World War II people stationed in the Pacific, right. And then sort of like a pastiche of like what they saw, what they thought they were seeing. And like, it's kind of like the definition of appropriation. However, this is a thing that I also talk about a lot on Yo's This Racist. There's also like theory versus practice. Cause like the reality is I would feel fairly confident you could pull a decent number of Polynesian people and then be like, you know, it's fine. We don't care. It's all good. People's relationship with tourism economies and like the service industry. So the example that's like closest to my heart as like a Chinese American person is so many Chinese American restaurants cater to what they think white people believe Chinese people or Chinese food is. You know, all the Oriental palaces, all that shit.
Yeah.
That, like, I them in a weird place as, like, this, you know, like, middle, upper middle class Chinese American, but immigrant and, like, college educated and shit. Who am I really telling is being racist when a different type of Chinese person opens a restaurant called Oriental Palace or, like, makes, you know, poo-poo platter, all this shit. So it's, like, complicated in that way that I'm, like, realistically, most Polynesian people, I'm pretty sure would just be like, it's fine. It's like how like the gears of capitalism and colonialism turn. For instance, like people aren't asking you to stop doing this.
Yeah.
At least awareness that this isn't actual Polynesian culture.
No, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Which is like, but I think not everyone has that.
Yeah.
There's some level of like appropriation or a white person's interpretation of what that culture is, for sure. Should I have not said that?
No, I mean, it's like sort of the same logic that in Hawaii, Native Hawaiians have a very complicated relationship with white people from the mainland.
Yeah,
like, visiting.
Of course.
It's like
and tourism there.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
It's like tourism is a major part of the economy. But also, you know, you saw it in 2020 really heavily. People were bringing COVID to the island. And now people are like buying, you know, colonialism still exists and it's still happening.
Yeah.
But also like you're not going to stop it by not participating in this thing.
Yeah. And we're helping
a local
business.
Yeah.
So,
you know, to the extent that you can.
Very nice people working here. And
Yeah. Here's the thing. Our dollars, our attention, our thing always goes to something unethical or that we find unethical.
Right.
Sure.
You'll never be perfect. But like at least acknowledging and realizing and looking. And if you really love tiki as a thing, it is like figuring out what actual Polynesian people like.
That's,
want
I think,
and
where
believe.
We're both coming from is we want to know more about it, be respectful, pay the correct like homage to that culture.
Yeah.
And like,
I think it's like at least a step to like know that this is an actual Polynesian culture.
Totally.
Which is like not everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Like.
Okay, good. So we can keep it going.
I think the comparison you made to like tourism in Hawaii is a very good comparison.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see if our drink is ready. Keep talking though.
It's not maybe perfect that that's how the economy of the island runs, but it is the reality. That's what this is also, I feel like, or some version of that.
I do have a little background info.
Oh, yeah.
20th worst drink on the Grog Log, Planet of the Apes. It looks pretty.
It looks great.
It looks pretty.
Quite pretty.
Okay.
Okay. So it's a highball. It's got an umbrella through a cherry.
Look at you knowing the glass.
I mean, I do drink.
I mean, so do we, but we...
We didn't know the glasses.
We were just learning. Oh, look. It looks like it's got like a nice
foam.
Yeah.
Like a foam on top.
I'm optimistic.
Have we described it enough? We've described it.
It looks like a cartoon of a tiki drink. Like, it looks like very generic to me, I will say.
Yeah. What color is it?
Tiki.
Tiki color.
Tiki
color. Yeah.
Brown.
Yeah, like that tiki, like, muddled...
It's that tiki color of, like, that brown, reddish kind of color.
Yeah.
It does have the froth on top, and we have just normal ice in there.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. You had a cheers this
time. I've
got
a cheers.
Oh, good.
Okay.
May we be the people our dogs think we are.
Cheers.
All right. There we go. For the 20th worst drink,
I think. The bottom of the barrel, that's pretty good.
This challenge is going to be easy, y'all.
Yeah, that...
I like it.
I like...
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do two tests minimum, but like...
Okay.
It's a wee bit more acidic than optimal, maybe. Oh, I will say, just before I forget, I did remember as we were doing, having some time to think about it, I think the only toast I ever do is cheers, motherfuckers. So.
All right, I like that.
There you go.
That's what it would have been.
Okay, so here, I got it upside down. Here's what we're
looking
at. One drink
in, we're reading upside down.
Planet of the Apes. We've got creme de banana.
Okay.
I don't really taste banana, do you?
At all.
No. Nope. Pineapple juice, orange juice, lime juice, and Jamaican rum. This is like,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with this.
I think it's that people dislike
the banana.
This might be editorializing from the bartender.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think like some people really hate fake banana flavor. Yeah.
Which I don't particularly
I don't
like,
get any of
but
it.
I don't taste it. She mixed it well, maybe.
I love fake banana.
Like Laffy Taffy banana,
yeah.
You're into that?
Fake banana flavor, like fake banana and chocolate is one of my favorite like flavors.
This drink is completely fine.
Yeah.
There's
nothing wrong.
Actually, like the thing with me is it's not boozy enough. Like it's like kind of like
well,
weak.
That means
I taste a lot
can
of,
have a third one.
I know, I taste a lot of juice. I know, that's the problem. Drinking at 4 p.m. on a Tuesday.
That's.
Oh, Corey, you were going to tell us more about tiki history.
Basically, what you had said you knew about tiki history.
Yes.
Was also what I had known about tiki history.
Okay.
Or what I had previously remembered was soldiers coming back after World War II. A lot of them had been stationed in South Pacific and in small towns. And
I just ate the maraschino cherry, and I'm covered in booze.
Oh, God.
And then I started leaning into the mic while I was chewing like a lunatic, so I apologize.
So that's kind of what I knew.
Yeah.
It actually started in the late 1920s.
Okay.
With Don Beach, who was born Ernest Raymond Beaumont Gaunt.
Yeah.
Ernest Raymond.
Beaumont Gaunt.
That's a name.
And then you're just like, I'm going to go by Don Beach.
Yeah.
How do you think you come up with that?
Don Beach feels like the high school
bully. He started appropriation immediately.
Oh, I was going to say, I guess that's true, right, Don? I was going to say, it sounds like something that like your high school bully would yell at you while you're on the beach.
Yeah.
Don Beach
over there.
Don Beach wearing the fucking shirt with the flowers on it.
All right, Don Beach. Just my guess. I don't know.
I'm going for the maraschino cherry. Sorry.
It's surprisingly boozy.
Interesting. Oh, I just got a little banana hit off that sip I just had.
Huh. I still don't have it.
Don Beach was working on a supercargo yacht, and he was frequently going from America to Sydney by way of Hawaii. He loved the islands and became known for that. When Prohibition ended in 1933, he opened up a bar in Hollywood called Don's Beachcomber. His zombie cocktail became very famous, and it was served in the 1939's World's Fair, which World's Fair has some like theme park connection
totally.
To us.
I will say also, naming a fake Polynesian cocktail the zombie by a white guy is like a... like
he doubled down real fast.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Maybe we should stop this. Stop the history because now I feel that Andrew's kind of leaning towards like stop doing this.
Let me get to
like
the
around the world. I'm like, I don't know.
Let me get to his last. One of his most famous statements was,
"Okay,
if you can't get to paradise, I'll bring it to you."
All right.
That's kind of what we're doing a little bit.
Yeah. I
thank God it wasn't something super
like his final statement was, and it's just all asterisks on the page. It's like, oh God. That was really racist.
Like, Hitler has a lot of great ideas.
And tiki fever kind of caught off from there. Don's Beachcomber became even more popular, as did his rival, the restaurant chain Trader Vic's, which is another one I feel like most people are familiar
with.
Well, that was Tiki 101, and now we're going to hit you with something called the My Five. So here's what we do. It's just five questions that I think we're going to ask to our guests.
Yep.
We've answered them in episode one. Here's the My Five for you, Andrew T.
Ready.
Question one. Do you have a favorite theme park or a theme park that you grew up going to or... What's your relationship with theme parks?
So I grew up in Michigan. So my relationship with theme parks is we would take school trips to Cedar Point, which is like, you know, a big, good theme park. But I won't say that's my favorite theme park because my favorite theme park growing up doesn't exist anymore. And I don't really remember it, but I remember it was really fucked up. And it's this place called Boblo Island, which exists in my mind's eye. I'm positive this can't be correct. But basically, like, because Detroit is, like, right. You can take, like, a bridge to Canada from Detroit.
Right.
And it's basically in that channel. There's this island that had really janky, like, carny level rides and stuff. But you would take a ferry to. called Boblo Island that I was randomly looking at this the other day. It shut down shockingly late, like in the 90s.
Wow.
In my head, I was like, oh, I probably went there once when I was five and just like never, because it was like, like carny shit. It was like a permanent traveling carnival.
What made it your favorite? I'm waiting for the...
No, because it was just weird and terrible. Okay. And we took a ferry from Detroit, which was like a big deal when I was like, again, like eight.
Yeah.
At most. I can't even remember when I went. But it's just like the weirdest place because it's like so Michigan. No one's obviously ever heard of it.
yeah, I've not heard of that one.
And it
honest.
Definitely should be like the setting for some kind of international incident one day. Like, I don't remember the actual island. And it's surprisingly hard to find documentation of what's on there. So I genuinely don't remember. I was like too young.
This sounds like a documentary that's ready to be made.
I know, contact Defunctland.
Yeah. Stuff.
Do you fuck with Disney or Universal or anything these days?
I went to Disneyland. Oh my God. I went on March 3rd of 2020.
Right before it shut down.
I think I was there when we were like, should we be here?
Yeah.
There was rumblings it wasn't going to be great.
Is this okay? We hear about this thing coming.
Yeah.
We're like, fuck it.
How bad could it be? Yeah. I remember my most like xenophobic moment was we were in one of the rides. I think it's the California one where you're like flying through California.
Oh, Soarin'.
Soarin'.
Yep.
My friends and I were sitting next to an Italian family, and like literally all I knew was like, these Italian motherfuckers are gonna give us COVID.
Right, and you're simultaneously saying, oh, it smells like citrus.
Yeah.
Evergreen.
If we take a deep breath, we can smell the oranges.
But they were fine, and that was me being incredibly xenophobic.
Yeah, but then cut to a month later, and we're all banging pots and pans outside outside the window.
It was really... So I like Disney, I guess. I went at some point in like probably 2021 or something. I brought in so many gummies and I believe some magic mushrooms. And then I just had a corn dog and it was wonderful enough.
Nice.
Oh my God. That is
the
one
best.
Of my favorite fucking foods.
They're the best corn dogs.
It's
They're
the
so
best
good.
Corn dog of all time.
Oh.
What's question two on the My Five?
Do you have a most embarrassing drunk moment?
Drunk moment?
Or like high moment. So like bonus points if it happened at a theme park, like what you were just describing possibly.
No, that was remarkably chill. When I was in high school, I took way too much LSD. Like way too much LSD. And my like dirtbag friends basically abandoned me. And in my head, what I was doing was a little bit like that Simpsons episode with the insanity pepper. I thought I was like walking on like a green field for like miles and miles and miles and miles. What I was doing in reality was standing on top of the ping pong table in my basement and circling that unbelievably perilously.
That's hilarious.
It's crazy I didn't fall off the ping pong table for hours.
That's like amazing.
So deeply dangerous. So in a way, that was my most embarrassing, although I wasn't really like cognitively present to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
But I have to imagine that was my most embarrassing.
That's just a fun story, though, too.
It was really fucked up.
Okay, so this is an interesting question, and I'm very interested in this with you because I know that we've talked food a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you this, and while you think about it,
okay,
I'm going to do a redaction on myself.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
If you had to go to any restaurant,
mm-hmm,
and order everything off the menu.
Oh.
Food, drink, everything. And you had to eat everything.
Uh-huh.
What restaurant would that be?
Oh.
And I'm going to talk about my answer from episode one. As I edit this and listen to it back, I have seen that the effects of alcohol sometimes happen.
We haven't had any tonight, so
no,
this
the
is
first,
good.
Not a drop.
No, the first thing that comes to my mind is often the best answer.
Yes.
So I think I went with that. My original answer was Trader Sam's at Disneyland.
Oh, okay. I don't think I know it enough.
It's just where I learned about tiki, and they have this type of...
It's a bunch of like small plates.
Sure.
Traditional Polynesian.
Yeah.
Honestly,
like
that's...
long beans, crispy long beans, like pupa platter, that sort of thing.
Right.
It's not even A, the best example of any of this.
Sure. Well, it's Disneyland.
Or B, my favorite example of any of this.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I'm going to go, like if I want tiki drinks and I want that kind of food, I love Latitude 29 in New Orleans.
Right.
There's so many places that I would probably choose before that, but blame it on the alcohol. I'll tell you that Corey said Din Tai Fung.
Really?
Even though
it's too much.
Even though
too doughy.
I am largely allergic to any shellfish.
Oh yeah, you would
asparagus,
die.
Asparagus,
etc. Yeah.
I've got my EpiPen.
Yeah.
She loves dumplings.
I love dumplings.
Man, I'm trying to like, god damn.
It's hard.
So I could, in that world, take down a dim sum restaurant, but I don't know if I want to do that. Part of me wants to just say, like, a Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
That's a solid choice.
Oh, no. The Arby's on Sunset. Just that weird one, Sunset and the 101.
Why is that turn so hard to make?
People hate Arby's.
No, I love Arby's.
That Arby's, one of my friends is a food writer who you should have on the show sometime because she loves Tiki. Put out a poll for one of her like food ventures, like what's the most underrated restaurant in Los Angeles? And I wrote back and I said, I know you're going to think this is a joke, but I mean this 100%. The Arby's on Sunset is the most underrated restaurant in Los Angeles.
Yes.
It's so good enough.
I'm with you.
People hate it.
Why?
Because people hate Arby's. Arby's is a punchline, but they're
Arby's
wrong.
Arby's is a hacky punchline.
Yeah. I went there one time and I ordered a red velvet milkshake. And I watched them take a plastic cup and spray the inside with like a like Rob Zombie level of red dyed sugar food coloring.
Oh, no.
And then put ice cream into it. And I was like, this place fucking rules. It's so weird. I love that place so much.
It's so funny because I think that a lot of times our minds go from, I could eat anything at this fancy restaurant. Yeah. But then we always go back down to
like Staples.
In-N-Out.
Yeah, realistically.
In-N-Out too, yeah.
Yeah, I said like In-N-Out, I could eat that. I've seen your Instagram, like always makes me so hungry with like, I'm like, what is he eating from this Koreatown restaurant?
That
like,
is true. There's this place, maybe my other one. This place called Sunnongdang in Koreatown.
Yeah.
Which is, they're a place that has an extensive menu, but like 99% of people only get the one thing that they're known for.
Right.
Which is this dish called Galbi Jim. It's like a soy sugar braised pot in like a sizzling stone like cauldron of short rib, brisket, oxtail's extra, but you gotta get the oxtail.
Fuck, give it to me now.
Carrot, potato, onion.
Sounds really good.
And like rice cakes.
God, that sounds great. But these drinks, how do you guys feel about Planet of the Apes?
Dave, did the last two drinks taste like different temperatures of the same drink to you?
I mean, they're kind of the same.
I kind of feel like that's all a Tiki drink.
Okay.
Is.
Literally what I said. Up top. Like, I was like, some are sweeter, some are more bitter.
Have it on the record that I think if you boiled this one up, I wouldn't
put
be able to tell
put
the
a
difference.
Little butter on top. Might be the same.
My thing is that when you put pineapple juice and orange juice in anything, it's just going to taste like pineapple juice and orange juice.
Right. So and that's why the color is the color.
The tiki color.
Yeah. Tiki color. Take out your tiki Crayola crayon.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like a muddy pineapple juice kind of color.
Yeah.
And then just go from there and you vary.
If it's
browner, it's a little bit more rum forward.
It's
and
tiki light, tiki medium, tiki dark.
Got it.
That's it.
So
that's what. Okay.
Do you want to do it one more?
Yeah, let's Order it up.
Oh, one more drink.
Yeah, one more drink.
Let's do it. Do they do stuff that's like frozen here? I feel like
there might be something.
Anything blended? Blended?
Yeah.
Is there anything blended on the menu?
I assume we're going to get a slushy version of what we just had. Last time I was in Hawaii, I think the thing I wanted, imperialism inside, we drove by the Dole plantation. I was like, I'm such a sucker for Dole Whip. I love Dole Whip
so amazing. Much.
And Dole Whip with just like one or two shots of rum dumped into it is, I think, my favorite.
It's good.
Tiki thing.
Yeah. A boozy Dole Whip.
All right. Next question.
All right, next question.
Oh, my God, yeah.
What do you geek out about? For example, Dave and I, theming nerds.
Yes.
Anything with a theme.
I don't know about geek out about, because I don't, like, love it, but at some point in 2020, I was like, I'm just going to get good at poker.
No, that's a good geek out, yeah.
Well, but I hesitate to, like, describe myself as geeking out, because I genuinely hate other people who play poker. I don't like playing poker. Like, I hate playing poker live, because I'm just like, these people are, like, horrible. Like, I just wanted to beat the game of poker.
Right.
So, it's this weird thing where, like, I spend a lot of time studying poker and listening to poker podcasts, but I'm kind of uniformly, I'm like, these people are fucking terrible. So I play online, needless to say.
Yeah.
But we might be getting something good.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, I thought she was going to light something on fire.
We have
she
big...
is. She's going to light something on fire.
Oh, this is amazing.
Okay, Dave is getting our drinks. We're getting a...
He's
filming. He's filming.
It looks like a pint of chocolate milk with ice cubes in it.
And she just poured some liquor on top.
Yeah.
Into like a lemon boat?
I want to say a lemon.
Well, did she like that with her finger?
She did.
She's a badass. God damn. Okay, they're burning. They're burning.
Yay.
Oh, now we got cinnamon. They're flaming. Oh, it's like little fireworks. Blue flame.
That was amazing.
Do you think Dave's going to light himself on fire on the way back here?
I hope so.
His sweater just goes up.
Oh, my God. All right, we're listening to the bartender describe what this is called. There we go. Okay. 8 ounces Lopez coconut cream, 2 ounces lime juice,
seven ounces
of
Jamaica rum.
This is wild.
Okay.
I mean, this looks like a Starbucks drink on fire.
And it smells so good.
At what point do we
blow
the fire out?
I don't want to put that in for you because it might light on fire.
She's like, I'll just give you your straws on the side.
We were taking bets on if you were going to let your sweater on fire.
Yeah. I think you still might.
Yeah, there's still time.
I'm going to see what happens.
Do we just
blow
it out?
I'm just going to blow it out.
I dumped mine in.
So we had a drink that was on fire. It was called the Coconut Reentry. The reentry is the flaming part, she said.
And it's just in a pint glass, a blended drink.
God. Yeah, it's a blended drink in a pint glass.
I tasted it a bit. It's really good. It's a lot more limey than it looks.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Cheers, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers, motherfuckers.
All right. Thank you for...
thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Thank you for being our first guest.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
It's good.
It is limey. It's a cold version. It's a blended version.
It's
the same fucking drink.
I will just say we've just been on a temperature gradient down from the first one.
We've re-entered. We're
warmish.
Yeah.
Cold.
Cold. Iced.
Blended.
Yeah. It's just the same thing at different temps.
This one has cinnamon.
This one does have cinnamon, though. Well, and it was flaming.
There is a strong aroma of toasted cinnamon in the air.
This toasted cinnamon smells so delicious.
It's a light.
It's a different color.
It's a darker white coconut color.
It's a darker white coconut. Okay. So
I'm going to turn on my phone light. Oh, God. Okay. I'm turning it off. Turn it off.
Everybody has scattered and gone. Oh, my fucking tiki cockroaches.
It is.
They run away with their little
pina colada-y
color.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so we went through. This is a re-entry. Like I said, the coconut has coconut cream, lime juice, and Jamaican rum.
Yep.
The re-entry has...
Oh, this is a different thing. Oh, God.
Yes, but the re-entry is the lime shell is then filled with 151.
Yeah.
And then the 151 is lit on fire.
It's 151?
Yeah. But it's 151 is...
It doesn't taste potent,
it's
though.
It's just for... decor typically.
151 has a bad rap because it's just like the highest proof shit that you drank when you were 16. It's like this is 150 fucking one. Sometimes it's just like a higher proof rum,
which is
okay, and it's lit on fire. So,
yeah, it burns well. The bartender did light it with her finger.
With her
it was pretty cool.
Did you see that?
She lit it with her finger.
It was pretty cool.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, where are we on the My Five? Have we finished the My Five?
No, you have your last question.
Remind me of that question. Oh, what's your go-to drink?
Yeah, there you go.
What's your go-to drink?
I mean, this probably says more about me, but these days my go-to drink is probably literally what I say to servers is, what's the wateriest beer you got? that's typically what I order. You know what? Oh, I will say my cocktail of choice is probably a Vesper.
Ooh.
Which is one part vodka, one part gin, half part... Well, it's a martini, essentially.
Okay.
But instead of vermouth, you use Lillet, and it's with a twist.
Gotcha.
Oh, nice.
That, I think, is what I typically get.
And
at
what's
like
your favorite watery beer?
Any. They're all really similar.
That's a good thing about watery beers.
Yeah,
I guess.
Anything from like a Tecate to an Asahi to a Coors Light.
Well, we were talking about weird things we got into during 2020.
Yes.
I have a weird, notorious history with my friend group of loving Miller High Life.
Oh, sure.
It somehow became crazy popular.
Yes.
When the pandemic came out, that you put Campari into Miller High Life.
Oh, yeah. I don't like Campari.
That's, you don't like bitter stuff.
That's my thing. That I'm very wary of all the bitters that are coming.
Damn.
Like,
which is what everyone has told us are the rough drinks, are the bitters drinks. But to be honest, this is where we differ.
Yeah.
I prefer bitter over sweet.
No, I mean, like, I don't like a Negroni.
I love a Negroni.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have a tough time.
I know.
I love a Negroni.
A tiki menu is a better place for this.
All right.
I don't know.
Here's what I learned today. The podcast lives on.
We're going to keep on going.
The podcast lives to see another day. The 20th worst drink on this menu is not so
still
bad.
This is going to be cake.
This is going to be
easy. If that truly is the 20th worst, you're in.
We're gonna make it.
Where would you rank these drinks?
The one we're drinking right now is my favorite.
Yes.
Me too.
But if there was a way to magically make them all the same temperature,
they might be the same.
I don't think, gun to my head, I could tell you the difference.
This one, I'll say that the addition of the cinnamon, I like it. For me, it's 3-2-1.
Me too.
Yeah.
3-2-1. I don't know. I'm maybe
the first
3-1-2.
One. I have the hot buttered rum. In pure taste terms, was my second favorite. But I think actually, given that we're about to go back out into the drizzly LA dreariness, I might look back on it more fondly than you think.
Sure, I get that.
Again, and if it were piping hot, it would definitely have been my favorite. Because
heat that shit up.
Temperature is my only differentiator between these three drinks. And the middle one was fine.
Obviously, our bartender tonight had a very specific taste.
If I ever get to be gone again or be on the show again, I want something chocolatey if I ever come on again.
Okay.
Chocolatey.
If it's a thing, I don't know.
Here's the thing. There's that rum that I told you about, Kohana.
Yeah.
They make one that is a cacao honey rum.
It's good.
That sounds amazing.
It's really good.
It's
called Coco Leca.
Okay. I'm about it.
I make a drink called This Shit Is Bananas.
That's a
banana and chocolate.
It's so good.
Okay. That's the best flavor combination.
So
this shit is bananas.
Yeah.
It's so good.
A very good drink. So you come over my place and I'll make you a This Shit Is Bananas.
This is wonderful.
So I think we did it.
We did it.
We drank the drinks.
Yes.
Three drinks down.
Three more down. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, our first guest. Do you want to plug anything?
I mean, just listen to Yo, Is This Racist if you want. I don't know. I will say this. If you're feeling extra both generous and or curious, our premium subscription site is called suboptimalpods.com. And you can subscribe. I can't remember which tier level, but we actually recorded our visit to Disneyland, which is the one that I've been talking to. So it's in there somewhere.
That's awesome.
I unfortunately, right this second, can't do a more specific promo, but it is in there.
This is what happens when you fuck with tiki drinks.
Yeah. But yeah, just Yo, Is This Racist. That's my podcast.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being our first guest.
Yeah,
thanks so much for having me. This is wonderful.
We're going to go pay some bills, and that's our show, I think, tonight.
Mahalo.
All right. Bye.
Yay.
We're back, and we're going to send it on home, but before we do, we want to thank you for listening, and we want to thank Andrew T. for joining us. Go check out his podcast, please. It's super funny. It's called Yo, Is This Racist?
And educational in an unthreatening way, to be honest. It's just fun. Listen, and you can learn.
Yeah, and thank you all for all the continued support. It's been so fun getting your emails and your calls and your texts, responding to different parts of the episodes. I love to see it. If you want to send us any questions or feedback or toasts that we can use on upcoming episodes, you know how to hit us up. It's 559-WE-DRUNK to call us. It's at MyTimeThePodcast on Instagram. And
Gmail.
It's MyTimeThePodcast@gmail.com. Please, only if you like our show, give us a rating on iTunes.
Yeah, don't be mean.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on the fence on whether or not you like it,
you just skip.
Yeah, don't worry about giving us a star rating. But if you're like, hey, these guys are really fun, then hit us up with 5 stars on iTunes.
We're just looking to be light and give everybody a little giggle as they're commuting or whatever they're doing.
Until next week, thanks for listening.
Mahalo.
Bye.